State Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back to Real Estate Coaching Radio. As always, Tim and Julie Harris broadcasting live from Austin, Texas. And today we're going to finish up the series that we started yesterday, or try to finish it up anyway, on the basically on powerful negotiating tactics and things that work in this market. And let's just assume that a lot of the elements of, you know, negotiating 101 are still relevant, but what we're doing is we're giving you, as we always do, practical and tactical suggestions on how you can actually win, whether you're on the listing side or whether you're on the buyer side, and not just have more contract fatalities, as so many of you guys are suffering from. So, Julie, yeah, welcome to today's show, and I believe you have some people you'd like to acknowledge, some members, folks on our private Facebook page. Yes.
Absolutely. So just a reminder, our fun T-shirt shop is open for our private Facebook page coaching members. All you have to do is choose your T-shirt and pay the shipping and handling, and it will be delivered right to you. And thank you for all of our latest models. Tanya Woleb chose Harris Rule number 29, which is known as replace hype and hope with action, keeping it real. So I love that she chose that one. And Rick Abbott has posted his picture. He says, what to wear when spending the day prospecting? No-brainer. Rule number 27, which I think is do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. So he shows himself posing. Posing next to the flag, American flag, and his desk is nice and organized. He's got his headset on, ready to rumble, and reminding himself not just doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it, but he's doing it also at a very high level. So all of that goes hand in hand.
You know what? Yes. You're right, Julie. That is rule number 27. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
Continue. Sorry.
That's all right. We have Coach Rochelle. I think this quote that she posted was great and kind of makes you think. It says, my name is Consistency. I am related to success. We should hang out often, and I will introduce you to results. Very congruent with our message there, Coach Rochelle reminding people to get into action. And I think there's a referral sitting there for Charlestown, West Virginia, a couple of other referrals. And, you know, there's also some discussion about a couple of agents who feel like they're a little bit behind. And I wanted to point out that, you know, on our Facebook group, it's okay to talk about being ahead, being on track, being behind. You're part of our coaching family, and your colleagues are here to support you and say, hey, you know what? I was behind too. Here's what I did. Here's the rule that I followed. I got into action. I did what I didn't want to do, and I felt like not doing it. And I learned how to do it at a higher level because, you know, I started following scripts, for example. So it's a community, and that's okay. It doesn't have to just be, hey, here's a referral and here's my new listing. We're there to make sure that you've got the support structure that you may or may not have in your own office. So back to you, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's the bottom line, guys, is that you are part of our community. And, you know, this is – somebody asked me yesterday, Julie, I forgot to tell you this. Somebody asked me, they were interviewing us for a quote in something. I don't remember what it was. It was a magazine article. I don't remember. I think it was somebody from – let me try it. I think it was Houston Association of Realtors or something like that. Anyway, So they're asking essentially how I would encapsulate what our coaching program is, which I hate that question because it's not, you know, you guys are listeners, you guys know what our, we're about honesty, we're about practical, tactical, we're about actually doing the work, doing what you don't want to do and you don't want to do it at the highest level, but you know as well as I do, those types of things don't translate well to, you know, newspaper articles and magazine articles. Nobody wants to actually read the truth. They want to read that there's some secret. So what I said, and I think this is true, is that basically what the coaching organization is, and what you guys are all members of, is really a shared philosophy of life, a shared philosophy of business, a shared philosophy of, I would say even to a certain extent, spirituality and family, a shared philosophy of money. That's what it is. This is essentially a life philosophy, you know, in the truest Stoic traditions, if you guys know what I'm talking about, then you'll appreciate that. That's kind of like the essence of what it is that is kind of fueling Julie and I. It's a philosophy of life. It's a philosophy of business. It's a philosophy of how to integrate those things for the ultimate desire to basically have the richest, fullest life that you possibly can. And by rich, oh my gosh, not politically correct, coming your way, I do mean money, but also
warning,
rich,
warning.
I do mean experiences. Exactly.
Okay.
By rich, I do mean experiences. By rich, I do mean quality of life. So that's really what we are. This is not an organization where we're going to teach you gimmicky, easy button things. We're not going to tell you teams are the Shangri-La. We're not going to tell you all this sort of trendy crap. We're trying to help you guys understand that basically there's almost a philosophical approach to business and life that, when integrated correctly, really does create a cohesive, repeatable, ever-increasing experience on this planet, which a lot of people call success. And that's kind of what I told this magazine guy. And, of course, I imagine what he's going to write is, Tim and Julie Harris teach prospecting.
Right.
Who knows?
Anyway, translation.
So, look, guys, remember, if you guys have any emails you'd like to send us or questions or whatever, just email us directly, tim@timandjulieharris.com or julie@timandjulieharris.com. We are going to pick up on our next point, which is point number 4, when we get back from this quick commercial message from our friends and partners and our sponsors over at Firepoint.
Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris is brought to you in part by Firepoint.
Growing a real estate business is all about knowing your numbers. Long-term success in real estate is knowing how to capitalize on those numbers daily. As the head of your team, whether it's 1, 100, or even 1,000 people, Firepoint is the all-in-one business solution for you. Created by agents for agents, Firepoint is more than just another CRM. Firepoint offers a complete picture of your business, from lead generation to team management and accountability, and the best return on investment reports in the industry. Firepoint is the solution that is focused on what matters, showing you the most profitable path to more closed transactions. Schedule a free demo at firepoint.net.
So a quick review. When negotiating, you obviously want to know your client's motivation. We went over all this in great detail in our podcast yesterday. Number 2, you want to know your client's time frame. Number 3, you want to know your client's numbers. Obviously, we're talking about buyers, a net sheet. This applies for buyers or sellers. And number 4, and this isn't a big brain teaser. This is just obvious. Number 4, you want to know the average days in the market for the subject property I'm negotiating with. And I'm going to give you guys a real quick example. I had a coaching call right before this podcast with Mr. Ben Salem, one of the top agents in L.A. A lot of you guys out in L.A. know Ben is famous for essentially not being famous and yet working for some of the most famous people that are in L.A. So he's one of these – he's a prototypical Tim and Julie client where he's not a big ego guy, and yet he's making absolute boat tons of cash. So Ben is going on an expired listing appointment. He was going on it today. And this was an expired listing that was coming from an agent that he respected who was also in his office. And the house is currently listed for $2.75 million. And so we are talking about all the reasons why the house didn't sell. And really, I know price, condition, location is really what it comes down to. But in this particular market, the house seemed priced right, seemed to have good location, have good condition. So what we did is, like, he was convinced that he had to go in there and do some big priceectomy on this because that's the easy button. It didn't sell because it's overpriced. But what we discovered was not only is it probably priced right, but also the days on the market on this house, it is ridiculous, the days on the market compared to the houses that have sold. But we know we don't have a location or condition issue. Again, I get it. Price must be the problem. But I suggested to Ben there was something else that was going on there. Maybe they didn't allow showings. Maybe the house wasn't in great condition when it was first listed. There's something else that's going on there that's not necessarily price. And for you guys, these negotiating techniques obviously are good suggestions. They're very paralleled suggestions for pricing properties. When you go after an expired listing, don't just automatically assume that price is the problem. Do your CMA. Know the market. And if there's no condition issue, there's no location issue, and the price seems to be pretty much spot on, I'll give you a little sort of advanced coaching secret here that any listing agent knows. It could just be because it's an old listing. I asked Ben. I said, Ben, when you're a rock star or celebrity buyers that's looking at a particular price range, do you even show listings in L.A.? He works in Hollywood and Beverly Hills and, all those areas. Do you even show listings that are older than 60 days old? He says he doesn't. When he's putting his criteria, what to show his buyers, he doesn't even show stuff that's older than 60 days. Well, guess what, guys? When you are a buyer and you're looking through all the portals, Realtor.com is my favorite one, but then Zillow and even IDEX feeds, you guys know as well as I do the emails that are being sent out, they're only the new listings. So what happens is after a listing in his market is about 60 days old, it's all of a sudden dead. And I, you know what? That's true in your market too, guys. So what I suggested to Ben was, is if he gets there and it doesn't smell like cat pee and there's no obvious problem, and he does a better, you know, he spends more time on his CMA and he determines there isn't a price issue, isn't a conditional issue, isn't a location issue, I suggested to him that it's as simple as putting it in the MLS again with fresh pictures, fresh descriptions, and, you know, basically having it appear as a new listing. And then when it does, it'll probably almost certainly sell in, like, the average market, average time in the market in that particular market is like 21 days. That is true for your markets as well. You will go after expired listings, and you will discover that sometimes you're walking into these houses, and they don't look like, you know, some sort of, you know, vampire feeding pit. I don't know why that popped into my mind. They'll actually look like fantastic houses that are in great condition, and you won't be able to figure out why it didn't sell. You're going to have in your mind, I need to hammer down about price, but it's not price, guys. I'm telling you, it's just because you need to game the MLS and put it back in as a as a new
refreshed
listing.
It's got to look great.
Okay,
make
so look,
me be dying to show it. Some of these pictures, I know why you said vampire feeding pit, because you were on the MLS earlier today. I'm sure you saw some questionable listing pictures that made you think that. So, yeah, I mean, you guys have all been trying to set up showings, and you look at stuff, and you're like, I'm not showing that. So remember that you just have that to go on. You've just got those pictures. So refresh it. When in doubt, make it be something that you'd be dying to see. Yeah. I mean,
point,
I think
point
it,
number
so,
five.
Number four. Five. Okay.
No, point number five. Right, point number five.
Yes, know the average list-to-sell price ratio. What is the list-to-sell price ratio? It's the difference between the list price and what things are closing for, but know the average list-to-sell price ratio for the subject property you're negotiating on, whether you're on the buyer side or the seller side. This sets what's normal for the neighborhood and the type of home. What in this neighborhood, on this type of a house, typically how far does it come down off of list price, assuming that it is priced correctly? So in some neighborhoods, and you guys know this because in the neighborhoods you're doing multiple bids on, the list-to-sell price ratio might be like 102%. In other words, it's selling 2% over the list price. But tomorrow's showings, maybe you're going a little bit higher end. There's more to choose from. We don't have multiple bids. Maybe typically in those price ranges, it's more like 91%. You might be surprised how far some of those listings come down and anywhere in between. Now, why is this critical? Think about from the standpoint of the buyer who keeps on insisting lowballing. You guys come almost every premier call, I get that question. How do I deal with somebody who just, you know, won't get off of wanting to lowball? Well, so it gets to negotiating with them about their offer, essentially. So if we know that in this very popular neighborhood, you know what you're bidding on is what everyone else wants to, and we've done the statistics on this, that typically they're selling for right around 101% of the list price. Now, your offer is about 87% of list price. By all standards, that's construed as a lowball. Why would the seller consider that, knowing that the average list-to-sell price ratio is actually more than what they're listed for? So if you combat the emotional need of trying to, quote, get a deal in these scenarios with actual fact that statistically you're highly unlikely to even be considered for this home with this kind of offer. Now, maybe that's not going to be the case on the next bid that you put in for a different buyer in a different situation. You cannot apply this overall thought that, hey, it's a hot market, so, you know, we've got to do this, or it's a changing transitional market, so I'm going to get some kind of better deal. You have to take it on a subject property basis and do this as a listing agent and as a buyer's agent every time you're negotiating to see what the averages actually are. Otherwise, you're just guessing. And I don't think that that's really something you should be paid to do with your commission. That's just me as a, from a coaching perspective. What are your thoughts, Tim?
No, it makes perfect sense. I mean, so you don't know. I think that you made the point as well as it needs to be made.
Yeah.
I will tell you guys to make sure you're looking at the original list price. You're not looking at the final list price. So look at the list-to-sell price ratio that's based on the original list price. Again, those of you guys who are selling in super hot markets, you don't know what I'm talking about. They're called price changes. Coming to a market near you, especially in the more upper-end stuff, you're going to see price change. Well, you know, that's going to be something everyone's going to be talking about in the fall. Remember we told you that June 11th, 2017, in 6 months, everyone's going to want to know how to do price reductions, right?
Yes, I think it's
all
coming.
It's all on Premier Coaching, guys. We have tons and tons of scripts on that. We have tons and tons of information on basically how to strategize. They're not just scripts. They're whole systems on how to get prices down. You know, this is really important that you use Premier Coaching to sharpen your saw, because come fall, that's going to be where the market's at. You're going to see a lot of expireds. You're going to see a lot of opportunity for agents that have skill. We really are entering a market that's going to be skills-based, and you have to be respecting the fact that if you can't just walk in. If you're a new listener, if you're a new member to Premier Coaching, if you don't have not yet accepted the fact that you have to have an organized business mindset approach to sellers, even buyers, but mostly to sellers, you won't get the listing because you'll be beaten by agents who do. The competition is going to get, I think, absolutely ferocious in the next probably 6 to 12 months, especially on the listing side. Why? Because that's where a majority of agents, the good agents, are absolutely positively migrating. You're going to see conversations that people are going to start having about downsizing their teams. Duh, how long have we been talking about that? 3 years. You're going to see people talking about the fact that the teams aren't profitable. You're going to see people talking about, oh, I guess I need to focus on being a listing agent, huh? So that means that prices and pricing and skills and things like that are going to be at the very top of every single person's mind. All right, the next obvious point, or I think the point that should be obvious to all of you, and Julie's going to give you some suggestions on how you can get this information out of folks, is know the other client's motivation, and also you obviously want to know your own client's motivation, time frame, and their situation. Now, sometimes, little suggestion for you, you can find out a lot about your co-op. Say you are a listing agent, as all of you should be, and you get an offer from somebody. Why don't you take their name and drop it into Google and find out what's going on? You might just find out that they just got transferred. You might just find out that someone just got a promotion. You might just find out that someone just won the lottery. So go and do research the other side's buyers' names, or if you're on the buy side, research the sellers and find out what there is to know. Find out motivation as much as you can about the other agents. Most buyer agents aren't really going to tell you their client's motivation, so you're going to have to do some investigating. You do want to know, are there, you know, if you're on the buyer side, you want to know if there's any offers. You know, you want to know if cash is a motivation for the seller. Not always is it, by the way, because really at the end of the day, it's all the same. The seller gets the same check, whether it came from cash or financing. It doesn't really matter that much to them. I mean, but cash is a good thing to use as negotiating sometimes because it means hypothetically less hassle. But again, it depends on the strength of the listing agent. So you want to know, you know, basically what you want to do is drill down as much as you can and get as much pre-qualifying information out of the way so you absolutely positively know what you're dealing with. Sometimes you guys are going to be in situations where you really don't know your own seller's motivation. You haven't taken the time to know your own buyer's motivation. And remember, we told you on day one of this series that there's no such thing as a have-to-buy buyer, okay? And I really hope all of you, if you guys only listen to us, you just somehow started listening to this podcast, you just started listening at this exact second, and you're never going to listen to us again, please remember what I'm about to tell you. There's no such thing, ultimately, as a motivated buyer in the same sense that there's a motivated seller, because every buyer can rent. That is ultimately the Achilles heel to every buyer's agent out there. And you know it as well as I do that you're not working with motivated folks. Oh, they've gotten financed. Oh, they're looking at properties. Oh, they're frothing and making offers. Those are probably, I would say, you know, obviously motivated in the sense that they're actually making the effort. But if a wind blows the wrong way, if they have a bad day at work, if something happens in politics or some geopolitical thing happens, you know what they're going to say. They're going to send you a nice email and say, thank you for working with us. But because of X, we decided we're going to sit on the sidelines and we'll call you again in the spring. Happens all the time this time of year versus having a seller that actually has to sell. They're distressed. The house is distressed. There's all kinds of other reasons why there's sellers out there that absolutely positively have to sell. When you guys finally have this switch thrown in your heads and you're realizing that essentially to truly be in this business long term, you have to be listing agents, I'll be talking with you after a year, and you'll be telling me about where all your business came from, and you're going to be realizing that a majority of your business, a majority of your income comes on the listing side, and then when I ask you what the motivation was of the sellers, every single one of them is going to have a have-to situation. If you have listings now, look at your whiteboard, hopefully you have a whiteboard, and look at and ask yourself, what's the motivation of your sellers? Some of you don't know. That's going to be your homework from today's podcast. Find out their motivation. And then write down their motivation. Remind them when you talk with them what their motivation is. And then if you have closed listings, as you know, obviously thousands of you do, because this is the most listened to podcast for real estate agents out there, go and look to see what the motivation was of the sellers that sold. You'll find, with very few exceptions, that every single one of them had to sell. Get it? Have that switch stay flipped, guys. Don't be fooled into believing that you can have a long-term sustainable business from anything other than working on the listing side of the business. And I'll even throw this out there. It's our belief that within the next 24 months or less, buyer agency, as we know it, where the buyer is, you know, automatically entitled to a co-op commission, is going to go away. We believe that in many major markets, you are literally going to see no more co-op commission, and that means you guys are then going to have to talk your buyers into paying you, talk your buyers into paying more for the house to finance your commission into the deal, or you're just going to basically be out of the buyer side business, and you're going to wish you would have listened to us for the past forever as we've been telling you to focus on listings. Go back and listen to the podcast I think we did from last week or the week before, and we laid it all out for you why we think buyer agency is going to be going away quicker than many people think. Next point, Julie?
Yes, and just to finish out this point, knowing the other client's motivation, remember that knowledge equals power. Ignorance equals fear, and when you're on the buyer side, not knowing the other side's motivation and time frame and anything about them and what's important to them other than price, sometimes convenience is the most important thing. Ignorance equals fear. That usually means you lose the deal. So remember, knowledge equals power. Ignorance equals fear. Make the effort to find out what's going on with the other side. Point number 7, know the expiration date on the subject property. Is the clock ticking on you as the listing agent, or on the listing agent if you're the buyer's agent? Maybe that's going to affect how the negotiation's working. Maybe that's affecting how the seller's thinking. Know what the expiration date is of the subject property. Point number 8, know what the options are for your client. How many homes on the market are there like this one? And this doesn't matter if you're on the listing or the buyer side. You need to know what the competition looks like. What's the absorption rate? What happens if the deal doesn't work out? So if you've got the listing and the seller's being kind of difficult, you know, going back and forth and you're having to negotiate this thing, what are the seller's real options? This gets back to the motivation issue, right? So if they've got in the back of their head they'll just keep it as a rental, your life's going to be a little bit more difficult than if they have already moved and been relocated to their new town, or they've closed on their new construction and keeping it is not an option. So you've got to know what those options are. And remember, you know, we're doing this in the context of negotiating. About a month ago, we did a podcast series called Don't Go If You Don't Know with regards to taking listings. Most of what's on this list, you should know on the listing side if you did a good job pre-qualifying them, counseling with them during the listing, and knowing what their situation is. Now, because now we fast forward to the negotiating, remember, too, people's motivation can change. They might have been gung-ho when you took the listing, but now they're exhausted on it. They're not sure where they're going to move. Recheck their motivation along the road as well through your weekly selling
call.
Julie
and I are like, well, Julie, let's just yeah. be honest. Let's give us this a perfect example. Julie and I will have uncontrollable surges of wanting to look for a personal house. It boils up in us.
We flare up now and then.
We flare up, yeah. Right, you know, and we'll go out and look at places occasionally. And then, you know what, we'll just say we'll get busy or distracted doing
something
else.
And we'll get over
it. And we'll forget about it for like a year. Then we'll go back. And that's how a lot of people – I wouldn't want to work with us on the buyer side. I wouldn't.
Oh, no.
You know, I wouldn't work with us on the buyer side.
No, we flare up and flare down. We have specific needs that we go after, and we have a perfectly good house. You know.
Yeah, all
so,
that. And
we're,
so, guys,
we're
the
definition
is
of not motivated, but also pesty.
Well, but
go ahead.
Well, right. But if you look at buyers on a whole, you go through all your buyers, guys, and you really ask them, you know, and you really ask yourself, you know, is this really somebody that is, what's their level of motivation on a scale of 1 to 10? You know, here's a question. This is part of our buyer pre-qualification script, guys. It's on the Premier website. Julie, you need to probably start doing like a whole month, maybe the month of next month is all on basically helping these guys become, you know, really targeted, excellent working with buyers. But one of the questions in the buyer pre-qualification scripts is, Mr. Buyer, if I were to show you a property that met all your needs, it basically was the right price, right condition, right location, everything about it checks, you know, all 10 boxes of what you're looking for. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being you would absolutely positively buy it, no strings attached, make a full price offer, if not more, and that would be the house for you. Incredibly, oh my gosh, bouncing off the walls, or 1, I don't give a crap. Where would you rate your motivation, Mr. Buyer? And the buyer is going to give you an answer, and here's what the buyer will typically say. They're going to say 7 or 8, okay? Okay, great, Mr. Seller. I appreciate the fact you're at a 7 or 8. What would it take to get you to a 10? And then you're going to hear them say things that you should have asked them before you even started showing them houses. Well, I have to wait to see if I get a promotion. Wait to see if I get a mortgage. Wait to see if pigs fly. You know, wait to see if fill in the blank, I get my whatever, right? There's all these things that are going to basically make it so you're going to have a lot of difficult conversations. They're going to be easy for the buyers. These are easy conversations to have, but difficult conversations for you to have because you're going to realize that you've been working with a lot of not motivated buyers. Guys, you must be using the pre-qualification scripts that are part of Premier Coaching. Definitely want to use the pre-qualification script. The way we had our office set up when we sold real estate is that literally we had a stack of seller pre-qualification scripts and a stack of buyer pre-qualification scripts near everyone's cubicle. Literally, it was the script, and there was space after the question where they could fill in the blank. And by they, I mean someone who was working for us. It could have been Julie or myself, or it could have been support staff. And like the buyer pages, the pre-quals were blue, the red, the sellers were red. And so if someone called in and, you know, Marcy answered the phone, and, you know, this is forever ago, we haven't sold real estate forever, and Marcy answered the phone, it was a buyer. And you know, all of our assistants and all of the folks that worked on our team had licenses. So she would go through and she'd ask all the questions. And then basically we would score that buyer as to whether or not, you know, what we'd do with it. And if it was a good lead, then maybe we'd work it. If not, we wouldn't. And what we found consistently, going through this exercise for years, literally having thousands of conversations, and this was like 20 years ago, was that very rarely did you truly have a motivated buyer. Because you get to the real questions and you'd always get this waffling. And if that doesn't prove to you that if you're going to have essentially long-term success in this business by focusing on sellers, really nothing will. But you have to have those conversations. You have to be willing to deep dive with your buyers and be honest with yourself. Look, guys, the year's half over. Don't be fooling yourself that the buyer you've been working with for 6 months is going to buy. They're probably not. They're just lookers. They like you. You guys have fun. You always pay for the coffee at Starbucks. They got nothing else to do on Saturday. And so, you know, every time they send you an email, you're always hopping to it and showing them a listing. They're getting decorating ideas. Guys, they're not a buyer. They're a looker. Move on. Make the difficult decision, and by difficult, it's just head junk, but make the difficult decision that you're going to put all your best energies every single day on working on mastering the art of becoming a listing agent. Then you're going to walk into your office, you're going to have your dry erase board, you're going to have your 10 listings, your 5 listings, your 100 listings, whatever listings you need for your real estate treasure map. And trust me when I tell you, the overwhelming feeling of satisfaction knowing that probably 90% of those listings will sell, that means that you're going to make commission on 90% of the listings on your board versus having all these flaky, flighty buyers. Guys, can you just imagine how much more confident you'll feel? So when you're trying to do financial planning about going on a vacation to Europe, or you're trying to plan to buy a Tesla, or you're trying to plan to do something, you know, for a loved one or a family member, you can do it, and you don't have to worry about not having the cash because you've got the inventory and you know statistically that it's going to sell and close within 60 days, 90 days, 120 days, whatever your market tells you. You guys get it? Are you kind of realizing that you definitely need to be focusing on becoming a listing agent? So listen, guys, I'm going to wrap today's show. We're going to pick up where we left off today, tomorrow, and finish out our points. If you need me for anything, if you need Julie for anything, it's Julie at timandjulieharris.com or Tim at timandjulieharris.com. So guys, listen, go back and listen to our past podcasts. Breathe the same air that we're breathing, because it's not just worked for us personally, but it's worked for thousands of other people. And by people, I mean agents, right? Now, I know we have a lot of business owners and other entrepreneurs and people in other industries. Based on your emails, some of you guys are, you know, we get emails from people that own car dealerships. We get emails from people that own insurance businesses. We get emails from people that are chiropractors that are trying to, you know, basically looking for marketing ideas. I don't know how you guys find us, but here's the bottom line. The key to ever-increasing success and really happiness in life, and by happiness I mean essentially having, you know, a well-rounded life. I'm not going to say balance because that's a myth, but it's having the mindset of service. When you're focusing on being of service to other folks, and then you back that up with doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level, guys, I'm not going to say you're going to win 100% of the time, but you're going to win so frequently, you're going to be a freak of nature. You're going to win so often, people are going to think you're cheating. Because you've been willing to essentially do what others weren't willing to do when they weren't willing to do it at the highest level. That's where the magic happens. And once you've adopted that philosophy of life, once you basically live and breathe that every single day, then miraculous things that you never really thought would happen, maybe you hope but never really believe they would happen in your life, they start becoming realities. Guys, it happened for us. It did. The philosophy of life, business, and all this, it didn't happen. We didn't read this in a book. We had to string this all together and figure it out. We had to go back and read history of ancient philosophies. We had to go and do all kinds of self-examination about why we believed the way we believed it. We had to deprogram ourselves. We had to remove software that had been implanted in our heads that wasn't working towards the accomplishment of our goals. You do too. And you listen to this podcast, especially if you're a coaching client, we're going to shorten your journey. It took Julie and I, we're going to be married 26 years this year. It's taken us nearly 30 years to figure out all the stuff that we give you every day on this podcast, and it's this podcast times about 100,000 and when you get on the Premier Coaching Program. But it's taken us that long to figure it out. Just use this information, guys. There's an old Chinese proverb that says a smart man learns from his mistakes. A brilliant man learns from the mistakes of others. Smart man learns from his mistakes. A brilliant man learns from the mistakes of others. Do yourself a favor and just get the information, apply it, and then just continue to do it. If there's ever anything I can do for you all, email me directly, tim@timandjulieharris.com or julie@timandjulieharris.com. Premier Coaching members, go to the private Facebook page, use the discount code, get your T-shirt. Hundreds of you have done it already. Post your pictures of you wearing the T-shirt. That's all I ask in exchange. You do have to pay for the shipping and handling of the shirt, but go do that. There's, I think, 30 Harris rules that are up there now, our little sayings. And then, you know, wear the T-shirt that basically you think resonates the most with you. I wear these T-shirts every day. You know, Julie wears these T-shirts every day. It's kind of fun seeing my reflection as I'm standing here in front of my Mac, seeing the reflection of the words, because it reminds me. It's constant reinforcement. So, guys, listen, have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the radio tomorrow.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.